Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.
Blake, what makes you cry every time?
I've never seen anything sadder than the bottom of a white cheddar popcorn bag.
Welcome to the Church Gear Podcast, where we pull the tech out of the booth and onto the stage to share the most outlandish stories and hidden wisdom from the tech trenches. And now, here are your hosts.
I'm your host, Blake Hodges, a man who definitely doesn't tilt white cheddar popcorn bags up to drink the crumbs. And I'm here with my co-host who finishes every bag of popcorn and chips in this barbaric manner, Toby Walters.
Blake, I'm getting a little concerned about the frequency in which you mention white cheddar popcorn as a, you know, love language for you. Have you gotten a physical recently? Gotten your blood checked?
Real story. My physical is at the end of March. So if I don't appear here in April, they just diagnosed me as done.
They're like, somehow your white blood cells are off the charts.
I'm 2 years in a row and they're like, lose 40 pounds. You need medicine. We're not giving you medicine. And I was like, I don't think they realize I'm not going to do it.
You're like, Toby said it'll be fine, but I don't know about this one.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good excuse. I'm going to tell Allison, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. So something that makes me cry every time, and my kids both even said to me this past Sunday, they looked at me and they said, don't cry. It's baptism. I don't know what it is specifically about baptism. I think it's just, you know, seeing the redemption of Christ lived out in real ways. And especially, Blake, when the kids get baptized and you see the parents crying, like they're just, it just gets me every time.
It's a tearjerker when the parents cry. Although I'm very proud of you, Toby, for finding some emotions here. Like you crying, I don't know if I've ever seen you cry.
I mean, last time we watched The Notebook together and you were just weeping, you know, and I'm just sitting there like stone cold face.
I can't. You really? It only took 100-something episodes, but you left me speechless with us watching The Notebook.
So I figured we've never talked about baptism, and production people deal with baptism on a regular basis at their church. So I figured it'd be a fun little topic for today as part of our episode, and I'll talk about a couple little baptism stories here.
Okay, hit me.
So at Church of the City, they do it quarterly, and it's up to the side. They actually have a real baptismal. I know a lot of churches, they'll have hot tubs. I know, Blake, when we visit churches and they have hot tubs on stage, we're like, can we hop in there real quick?
I just assume that's the devil trying to be like, no, this one, I'm cooking them. They're awful. They're evil. And the baptism redeems you.
Yeah, obviously. And I was out at Saddleback a while back. It was maybe a year and a half ago. And they have their baptismal outside. Now, Southern California, the weather is always nice. And so it's built in. It's like a stone, like spa built in to an area. And I'm sure it's heated as well. It's very nice.
Can we do our podcast from that baptismal?
I think that's a great idea. Let's see if Gene Kim will approve that.
Okay.
But this was right when Rick Warren, and by the way, Blake, just so you know, Rick Warren is a very well-known pastor who started Saddleback Church.
Oh, I know who Rick Warren is.
Now you do.
I tried to get him on the podcast before. I know that name.
So this was right when he was kind of retiring, and he was going to hold one last baptism service where he was doing the baptism.
It's your last chance to get saved.
And so do you want to guess how many people signed up to get baptized by Rick Warren on this one last time?
666.
You're shockingly close. It was in the 600s. And so I was just joking with the production people, like doing the math on that. Even if I forget what it was, but even if every baptism took 1 minute, it was going to be something like 8 hours of baptisms in a row.
You would be out of like, you would need to drink water just to keep replacing your tear ducts because you'd be crying so much.
Yeah, I would have to just like hydrate consistently because I'd be sweating from my eyes at the same time.
Toby, why do you have 64 ounces of Gatorade? It's baptism day.
That's right. And Blake, were you there the day when at Fellowship that Lloyd gave a sermon and he was talking about a moment in Acts where I embarrassed because I should have had the reference ready. It's like I'm going to quote the Bible and I'm going to get it a little bit wrong. But one of the disciples is talking with someone and they say, well, I want to be baptized. And the disciple says, well, look, there's water right here. Let's baptize you here and now. And so Lloyd's giving this sermon. And at the end, he goes over and like pulls a sheet off of a giant tub. And he said, look, water, let's baptize you here and now. And they had planned that if anybody wanted to get baptized right in that moment, they were ready. They had like kind of like dressing rooms set up in the back, which is curtains. They had towels. They had swimsuits. That anybody who wanted to get baptized, come on up and get baptized. And people listening at home got in their car and drove to the campus to get baptized. They baptized over 100 people in that moment. It was like the most memorable moment of my 9 years at Fellowship. It was amazing.
That's amazing. Why didn't you finally get saved that day and get baptized? That'd have been a good time for you.
I think I was saved back then, but I think that now knowing you, that has ruined my salvation. And we're still working on fixing that.
Well, speaking as someone that could probably fix the salvation of the two of us, the central production director at Rolling Hills Church, Sean with a U, Miller. Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Sean, do you have any idea the most people that Rolling Hills has ever baptized in one service?
One service? I honestly don't. We have done, you know, five or six at it is probably sticks out in my mind. But yeah, I've have seen, you know, previous churches and whatnot, you know, an open baptism where just, you know, streams of people come, you know, 50, 60, 100. Yeah.
And have you ever had to baptize somebody twice because it didn't take the first time?
We're not asking for us.
As Toby's over here like, well, how many times does it take?
Blake, we're still waiting for that story, by the way. I don't know if we have time right now, but maybe if we have a little buffer in the episode later on, you can tell us how you had to get baptized twice.
All right. This is the launch of Church Gear After Dark. At the very end of this episode, we will tell the story of it not taking on your first baptism.
Okay. So if you stick around to the very end, you get the juicy details of Blake's.
The painful details. All right, Sean, let's see if you, me and Toby can avoid some pain and get one of these right, because the guests have been on a hot streak. Five Truths and a Lie with Sean Miller. Here we go. Number one, met wife trying to have her removed from a venue while on tour.
I sure hope that's true, because that's an amazing story.
Number two.
And he looks like a bouncer, too. Like, he can throw us out of church gear right now.
Oh, dang. Could you? Because then I could take the rest of the day off. Number two, hold the unofficial record for most wireless deployed for a single show at the Ryman in Nashville. Oh, wait, it says unofficial. I was about to say, if that's an official record, that's pretty cool. Number three, I ran onto the Notre Dame football field just ahead of the team for one game.
Did they shout Rudy?
Rudy. With a Blake, U.
Yes, with a U. Blake, I'm proud of you for knowing that reference.
I love football, man. Number four, pulled over and drug searched while on tour with a Christian artist. Hmm. Was this back in Toby's touring days? Were you? Number five, I met Steve Wozniak of Apple fame. I think Sean put the of Apple fame in parentheses in there for me.
I was worried about you.
Yeah. Good job, Blake.
Finally got one. Number six, I'm an amateur Civil War historian. Okay. I wouldn't go that far for myself, but deep enthusiast.
There you go.
We have stuff to talk about. Number seven, I have gone to the opening night of each current Star Wars movies. Star Wars.
Obviously the ones I've been alive for.
I was going to say, you weren't
That's
born.
That's why I was a little parentheses there. There's a little parentheses
well,
there.
He was conceived. Okay.
That would be amazing if like your mom was pregnant with you and was standing in the line. So you could technically say,
I mean, I could call
I was
it.
There. Yeah.
Sean is Luke Skywalker.
Okay. These are good. Like, these are really good. Even going to get to the content of the episode? Because I want all these stories.
We're going to throw that all out. We're going to just have fun
part
times
two,
here.
Part two.
I honestly have no inkling on which one. So I'm going to let you guess first, Blake.
Great, because I feel the spirit calling me to pulled over and drug searched while on tour with a Christian artist. Okay. That sounds really true. I bet that one's the lie.
I'm going to say that he's not an amateur Civil War historian.
That's pretty good, too. All right, Sean, we're locked in. He's got Civil War. I've got drug search.
What's the lie?
Actually, I gave you the bonus points there. There's actually two lies.
Oh.
So okay. I gave you a little extra wow. one. There's two lies, and you were both wrong.
Yeah, even with two shots.
What are the two lies then?
So I did not actually meet Steve Wozniak, and there's a painful story behind that, and which is why that made the list. And I have actually not seen any current Star Wars movies.
What?
I know,
Sean,
right?
You are the exception that proves the rule. That's why
I think you just got voted out of the church tech.
I may be.
Take your black shirt off right now and give it to us. You are not a church tech anymore.
Do we need to go baptism? Baptism for this?
Have you seen all the Lord of the Rings movies instead?
All Lord of the Rings? I'm a Trekkie.
You're fine.
That's where it is.
You're still a nerd. You're just a different category.
Last Star Wars, I mean, I saw the original three. And I saw whichever one has Jar Jar in it, which people hate Jar Jar, I guess.
After that,
I've not seen a single one after that.
Oh, I thought you said you hadn't seen any of them. This is decently forgivable
current.
How do you feel about the original Star Wars trilogy?
Original, great. I love it.
All right. Then you're safe.
Okay. Well, can I keep my black shirt? Can I put back on?
Yeah, put your black shirt back on.
Put your shirt back on.
Sean with the shirt. Okay, tell us about throwing your wife out of a venue.
So when we were out on tour and was road manager front of house for this band, and we were at a church doing a gig, and she was, I thought, bothering the lead singer, and so had security start to go up there to remove her, and
so she could start bothering you.
Exactly. That so.
I stole it from you, Blake.
We went through that. She ended up having a mutual connection with the lead singer, and he invited her to the next show, which I then, as the road manager, had to get her into, and we started hanging out and got married after that. So, and that was 16 years ago now.
Sean's going to have to come back for next February when we do.
I think it'd be great to put together a little, even for Valentine's week next year, little quotes of how production people met their wives in production context. So, which Sean did. I think those are great little stories.
And I had I was young, at the time. I was like, I'm not going to meet on the road. I'm going to focus on this. And then she ended up touring with us
until the woman walks in the room and we're like, that one, I want that one.
Yep.
That's amazing. Okay, tell us about the unofficial record for the most wireless deployed at a single show in the Ryman, because a lot of people play the Ryman.
Loved this. So last January, Rolling Hills, where I'm at, we celebrated our 20th anniversary, and we did a just giant combined service up at the Ryman. And, we have five campuses. Well, maybe I think it was four at the time. But, we had to have everybody included and all the special stuff. And we couldn't rehearse there. And we couldn't come in there, it was so we had to load in at, 4 in the morning. And so we brought in 60 channels of wireless.
Wow.
So we're good friends with Claire here in town as well. And so their wireless tech messages us and is like, you're taking out more than we send out with Garth Brooks. And he's the one we send out the most with.
Yeah.
What is going on here? And then talking to the Ryman guys and they're like, what are you doing? And it's just become this great joke. And their tech guys, their production guys are phenomenal. We still talk to we did one show there. We're still talking and hanging out, and they'll laugh about the amount of wireless we brought in. But we had, Carrie Underwood came in and sang and all this stuff. It was insane. But we used all of our own production guys, which was awesome.
Nice.
So the Ryman was huge on that. But it was just funny. They were like, you're bringing in how much? Excuse me?
Did you run into any major problems mapping all those frequencies?
We were great until the second service as Broadway started waking up.
Oh, yeah.
And they started bringing on their wireless. So we got the last few minutes of the last service got a little sketchy for a minute there. But it we literally had one of our guys just constantly monitoring wireless. Yeah. It was insane.
I'm just imagining honka tonk, but donka donk coming across.
Just start coming, bleeding through as Carrie's singing, great is thy faithfulness or something. It was great.
Mm. All right. Can you tell us who the Christian artist was that you got drug searched?
Yeah. I mean, this was my first tour early on. So this was, I got into this through a connection. It was an American Idol person. Her name was Joanna Martino. So you've never heard of her. Sorry, Joanna. but she was one of the second season American Idol, mm-hmm. made it to the top 50, 30. I don't remember now. Yeah. And, but still got a deal out of Nashville. And so, we're from the same hometown. And so I get a call one day from her manager and it's like, hey, she's asked, you know, for you to come out on the road. And I was like, awesome. What does that mean? And so we started that anyway. Months later, we're coming through Missouri with her and the manager and myself. And we're in a van, you know, we're just going from radio station to radio station, I think. And car come over hills, patrolman whips around, pulls us over. And we're like, oh, okay, manager was driving, he was speeding, haha. And starts to get really weird. And so another cars pull up, they start separating us. And I'm panicking, and I'm like, you know, all of, you know, 18 maybe at the time. And the officer pulls me out to his squad car, sits me down. He's like, all right, son, I need you to be real with me. Are there any drugs in that car? I'm a pastor's kid. Like, I went through DARE.
So probably. Like, Blake, you're not getting any jokes today. I'm stealing them all.
I'm a homeschooled pastor's kid. Let's go that far, too. Like, it was like, I'm like panicking. I'm like, there's Adderall in my bag, but I have a prescription for that. Like, I'm like that crazy. He's like, no. So they pull us. We're on the side of the road. They box us in and follow us up to the next pull off, bring out the drug dogs. I have to empty the van. Anyway, somebody had just called in a search on a van matching our description, like that we were transporting drugs across state lines. But the best part was the artist was just hilarious in that she was ditz. I love you, Joanna. She would get
Sean's gonna need to get baptized end of this.
No, we get pulled over. She's like, gets out. She's like, excuse me, officer, I just need to throw this bag away really quick. Like, just completely clueless about what's going on. And the manager and I are like, sit up back. You know, we're like, we're going to jail. We're now going to, you know, they're getting the rubber gloves out. Like, here we go. You know, but I mean, it was drug dogs and everything. It was phenomenal.
That cop took one look at his ID and was like, Sean with a U. No, yeah. Sean spells with a U. This is the fakest ID I've ever seen.
All right. And we got to hear the Steve Wozniak story.
So Wozniak is, huge fan, huge. I've had the Kool-Aid. I love my Apple devices and I love Wozniak, what he does. I've done all his biographies. And
do you have any vintage Apple gear?
I mean, vintage to my era.
Okay.
I mean, I have, my
iPhone 4.
I have my first day one Gen 1 iPhone.
Okay.
Day one Gen 1 iPad. Day one Gen 1 Apple Watch. So that's where I'm at. But so nothing like an Apple II or something. Yeah. Like, I love that stuff. But so one day, before we were married, my wife worked for a hotel chain. And we're, catching up after, tour. And she's like, oh, hey, by the way, she knowed my love for Apple. And she's like, oh, hey, by the way, some guy from Apple checked into the hotel, but she's probably breaking some policy, telling me. And without skipping a beat, I was like, was it Steve Wozniak? And she's like, yes. How on earth do you know that? And like, and all this. And so she got his autograph for me and all that. And I'm like, so it was just so frustrating because she couldn't even pronounce his name, mm-hmm. and she's meeting him and talking, blah, blah. And I'm like my hero over here. And I'm like, yeah, I get nothing. Still haven't met him to this day, but I got my little signature on a.
Yeah.
On
where is that displayed in your house?
It is on my office wall with my,
in front of his wedding photo.
Right.
Man, my wife got a Taylor Swift autograph when she was in high school and her mother lost it.
Yeah.
What?
So imagine if your Steve Wozniak got lost. That's awesome.
So her mother is dead to you, right?
For so many reasons.
And when I was still a Christian artist, and I'm using air quotes because, that's a real stretch. But
the quotes around Christian.
No. Right? No, well, Christian, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Okay.
You pick up a guitar and call yourself a Christian artist, then,
hey,
have
you're in Nashville. It works.
We were touring out in the Bay Area and we had a day off. And so we said, let's drive up to the Apple headquarters and see if we can see it. And because my cousin works there, he's a programmer at Apple. And so we walk into reception and say, hey, my cousin works here. Can we come in? And they're like, no, you can't, idiot. So we certainly didn't meet Steve Wozniak or Steve Jobs, but as we walked back out, we saw somebody come out with a couple security guards and turned out to be Andy Samberg. So I got a picture with Andy Samberg in the parking lot of the Apple headquarters. So,
Was he like just walking with security or being escorted out.
He also had told them, my cousin works here. Yeah.
He was getting into, I feel like it was an Escalade or something.
So it was his security. It was supposed to be his security. Okay.
So I don't know why he was there.
Because I've been escorted out by security many times. Yes. So, you know.
So is your wife.
Right,
apparently.
Exactly. That's what.
Okay.
Wow, we derailed.
There's a lot there. Okay, Sean. So when you're not getting escorted by security, give
or
us
a drug searched.
Right.
Or, you know, pounding the table to meet Steve Wozniak. Tell us about a little bit of your background. How'd you get into church tech? How'd you end up at your role at Rolling Hills?
Yeah. So, like I said earlier, you know, pastor's kids. So I started, you know, my dad's church. I was 10 years old. I had to sit on a stool to see over the console through the balcony. You know, we were, and had the guy who was doing sound was like really old. He was like 16, 17. And, you know, he was just knew everything about it. And his thing was, hey, if you want to learn this, you know, the best way to do is, you know, take it apart, put it back together, figure it out. And I did that. And much to my dad's dismay, because I was like, oh, do that on somebody else's stuff, not the stuff we need for Sunday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I started there and then, you know, got connected with, you know, regional sound companies doing local stuff. So it was like, you know, 13 years old, I was working an OC Supertones.
Oh, yes.
Concert. Scott. You know, that was my first like backstage experience. And I was like hooked. And then
Blake, just to clarify, that's a ska band.
I love a ska band.
Somebody wrote out ska band and he pronounced it ska band.
Wow.
Look, guys, I'm just Ron Burgundy. I just read what's on the teleprompter. All right.
Oh, so we, you know, did that for years. I, you know, worked with, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. I used to say Bill Cosby. You can't say that anymore.
You can't say Great Balls of Fire either, though, Sean. We just bleeped that out.
So, you know,
we just say Heathcliff Huxtable.
Well, right. I actually don't remember that gig. Never mind.
That's where the drugs came from.
Oh, man.
But getting to do that stuff was amazing. And, you know, but always in the church, even my touring days were, you know, most of the time in churches. And I loved that time where it was, hey, you know, we've sound checked and I'm hanging out with the church house guy. And what can I do to help you? You know, what we'd mess around with their tuning or, you know, what in a good way, you know, yeah, but just getting to hang with those guys. So I feel like I was in ministry even through those days. And, you know, I thought touring was what I wanted to do. And I was, you know, like, I don't remember how old we were, you know, saw the Newsboys at my hometown. I was like, I want to go out with those guys. And fast forward, I'm now engaged on tour with the Newsboys. And I'm like, this isn't what I want to do. And, like I want to
the touring or the engagement.
Yeah, well, you know, the touring. And I was like, I want to be at home. I want to, you know, I don't want to be on the road. And you know, there's, you know, for the sound guy and whatnot, I was like, oh, this is gonna be hard to make a living and with a new wife and be gone and all of that. Like, so anyway, we one of the guys from the Newsboys got me connected with our first church out in California, so in the Bay Area, and started there. And as their tech guy, and they were a multi-site church, and I loved it. And then we had our first kid, and they're like, hey, we're like 3,000 miles away from any family, and we're in our 20s and have zero idea what to do with this thing God has given us. And so got the opportunity to move back to Indiana, where I was at a big church there, and loved that. And so that's just... God got us down here to Nashville, which kind of full circle back from the touring days.
Yeah.
And Rolling Hills, we were actually just attending, which, boy, if you're trying to find a church when you're not hired into or your parent, so hard. We landed at Rolling Hills, and we were actually attending there while I worked just a little sabbatical of full-time ministry. I was doing integration stuff and just kind of recovering from burnout, everybody's favorite church tech talk. But I felt God like, okay, I've created you to, you know, feel like, you know, God saying, you know, I have one set of skills. Like I can do one thing and it's this. He's like, it's time to get off the bench. Stop, you know, whining. That's the only sports reference I have is get off the bench.
Yeah.
And Rolling Hills figured out my background, and the worship pastor at the time was very persistent. And No, it was 7 years ago. So I've been there on staff for 7 years now.
Nice. So circling back to baptism.
Yeah.
Because we want to make you cry.
That's right. Now, I won't go into the details of the story. Blake, you probably don't even know the story. I'm assuming you know what I'm referencing, Sean, but there was a famous tragic incident where a pastor was electrocuted in their baptismal. Was that essentially 48 volt power going through there?
I honestly don't remember the story, but I believe it was.
So, Sean, how do you guys just approach baptism as far as cameras, microphones? Can you, you know, do you amplify it, or is it just on video? And is it a headache for the production people to add to the service, or do you guys make it pretty simple?
So, Rolling Hills, I don't say we do it a little differently, but we do like pre-neonatal baptism. So it's like beyond infant baptism. Mm-hmm. We want to get them before they're even born. No, okay. I'm kidding.
Man, I was
so in on there.
I was like, Toby, we're going to offend Sean, but this is bizarre.
No, so I love Rolling Hills at our Franklin campus, where mm-hmm. I'm primarily out of. We have the kind of like you were talking about the stone baptistry, mm-hmm. but it's out in our gallery lobby space. It's not in. So we video the baptism into the room. And I honestly love that, just from a standpoint of we don't have something that I have to work around on stage or this or that. So I know there's like spiritual guys out there like, oh, you've ruined that. But I love having the ability. And so then we get huge crowds out around, the family supporting and all that. Mm-hmm. But it's a raised, you know, platform, and it's its own big entity out in the gallery. And we video it in, and whoever is doing the baptism, they do hold a wireless handheld mic.
Okay.
In my 7 years, it's only gone to the bottom of the tank once. And it still worked when it came back out. So we have ambient mics around as well and whatnot. But we it's never a headache. Love doing it. And we do it. We're not like open back, like, hey, you just, it's always filled and going, but we'll baptize as often, you know, once you've worked through the process, we'll do, you know, one a week sometimes, you know, easily.
Yeah.
And so and having three services is where it gets a little awkward, because you have to then plan, like, let's say we're having one baptism at the 9:30. You have to plan all the services to be that long then. And so it's like that part gets a little issuey with like streaming times and stuff like that. But all in all, it's an easy tension to manage.
So obviously dropping the wireless mic did not have any dangerous effect for
people
in it. I'm sure it was bad for the wireless mic, but...
Well, he said it still worked.
It still worked.
Yeah.
I did the whole rice thing, you know, put it in rice. I feel like that people say that's, you know, isn't real.
But. My news feed just this morning said Apple came out with a statement saying, don't put your phone in rice. Just put it upright and tap it a bit. Try and get the water to fall out.
But say
rice particles get in there, and it's not good for it.
Say a prayer to Steve Jobs, and then just buy a new iPhone, because that's what they said.
So, you know, okay, great. Baptism doesn't create much headache for you. Let's talk about the fact that you're a central production director over, is it five campuses?
Five campuses. And we count our online as a campus. We treat it as one. It has... all the rights and standing, I don't know what the typical, you know, of a campus. It just doesn't have a physical building. So I oversee that as well.
So how do you balance, you know, all the projects and needs of six campuses plus fires that are always coming up that you have to put out versus the fact that Sunday's always coming as well?
I don't. Do you see these hairs and lack thereof? No, it's
he puts the fires out with all the baptism water.
I just pull the plug and there it goes. No, it is definitely a tension to manage. So, you know, up until just recently too, I was the only full-time production guy across this.
Across five campuses?
Yes. So, and I also oversee IT. So
of course you do.
For, you know, our 80 some employees. Yeah. COVID was amazing. Like, I was like, hey, we all need to work from home and film everything. Yeah. So that was nuts. The struggle, like the 7 years I've been there, I think we've always been in some sort of building project, whether mm-hmm. it was, you know, a new new student center, and then, you know, add on to this building, our new campus. And we've done the model where absorb is not the right word. Don't say absorb. We merge with other churches.
Yeah.
And so that's become an interesting one where you're not building something from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Now you're going into this building that was, you know, built in the 1800s and is haunted. And we have one campus. I have a strict do not be there alone or at night mm-hmm. rule for myself.
Blake has that rule for everything.
Do not
be alone at night, period.
Or be in Church Gear warehouse. I had to sprint through here one time, tripped on a bunch of gear. Not fun.
Yeah. So, you know, that is an interesting thing to manage of like, oh, it's not just, you know, hey, here's the set of plans we do. We go do this. Everything is unique.
Yeah.
And so that's fun. And I love and hate. No, I don't hate. We tolerate. I don't know. Anyway.
We'll bleep it.
Bleep it. There you go. I always joke we're, you know, Rolling Hills Community Church and Convention Center.
Uh-huh.
So we have a firm belief that from our senior pastor, he wants our building used up and worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And love him dearly for that. No, I do. It really is a great thing. But So we do events like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And so add that in and the logistics of that, it creates an interesting tension, but you just have to, I have to continually remind myself the reason and the end result and where my heart's at. But it is a
challenge.
Thank you. I'm like trying to be very diplomatic and with it, but you know, having great, we call them core team volunteers. Mm-hmm. I do have part-time staff. I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, a hero or anything. I mean, you have a cape on right now. Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, I wear that everywhere. You know, we have a great team and our leadership does understand, you know, we're like a scrappy insurgency. You know, we're not this mega church, but we're doing a lot of great things.
Yeah. When you merge with other church campuses, as far as the AVL systems go, is it kind of like whatever you're inheriting is what you have to use, or do you guys put in the Rolling Hills, you know, system when you merge with another building?
I don't like the air quotes around the Rolling Hills. No, it's we do a full gut usually.
Okay.
So I have a global AV plan.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself the benevolent production dictator. So this is our global plan for domination. But I want everything the same, just for consistency's sake. So you know, like the one we're opening here in a couple weeks up in South Nashville. I get them all mixed up.
It's the Nashvilles.
It's the Nashvilles. You know, we put two in Nashville and now it's very confusing. So but you know, come in and they had all one brand of microphone and whatnot, and we're just gutting it all. I don't know if there's a place I can like get rid of that or whatnot.
Somebody should start that.
I think so. Maybe I'll put it on Facebook or something, you know. But you know, but we'll come in and put all the brand we use everywhere.
Yeah.
But that creates a lot of, you know, I can move this around. I can
drop this in the baptismal. I got a backup.
Exactly. I've got another one.
Yeah. What brands do you love the most? Like that you're like, oh, these are the ones we're always putting in.
I'm relatively brand agnostic, but we have lived like we have gone full Shure. Like we're Shure PSMs, wireless. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a Yamaha house, so everybody's on some form of Yamaha. You know, that kind of, everybody's using Digital Audio Labs. Mm-hmm. Mixers, and some of that was what I inherited, some of that's my own beliefs, whatnot, but it's just the consistency across the board.
Yeah. So you present me a unique opportunity to talk on the reality of how hard it is to find the time to get rid of your old gear.
You're going to bring this up, aren't you?
So,
Toby, I told you we weren't going to shame Sean.
Six-ish campuses, because I know one of them is an online campus, and you are the only full-time guy. Do you have used gear that is sitting in storage spaces that you know should be given new life somewhere else?
Oh boy, I really do. I
objection. Leading the witness.
So was it almost maybe even more than 2 years ago that I came over and we met the first time? We toured and I toured your space, and like you just mentioned, the M7 that I saw 2 years ago in your storage space is still sitting there.
It's actually in the ex-
exact same space
with just more dust on it.
No, I go in and dust it. I say hi to it. You know, it's you know, it has a special place in my heart. But no, it is literally still there.
And this is no intention to shame you.
I shame myself.
It's a fun coincidence. But just recognize the reality of what production directors at churches have to deal with every single day. And there's still more stuff sitting on their plates, of which, you know, you can put your fist in the air and say, solidarity, brothers.
Yeah. And it is so funny. We have this conversation and you're literally up the road and we've still had this conversation. It's like, I'm not about to sit here and deal with a marketplace of some kind or whatnot. Like, that is why when we toured that, and you guys were much smaller then, you know, and it was like, I mean, you came out and we hung out and it was like, oh, we'll take that. We'll take that. I'm like, you mean I don't have to deal with this?
Yeah.
Like, it could just go away. Now, luckily, it's sitting in a closet that I guess I don't trip over it, but we are going to talk about that.
That's why we had you on the pod. Just
right. So
mics aren't even recording right now, Sean. This has all been a ruse. Toby deeply wants that M7.
Okay, so shifting gears, Blake, what's a magazine?
A magazine is a paper thing that if you give to an infant nowadays, they don't know how to operate because it's not a tablet.
Blake, have you ever had a magazine subscription in your life?
Bourbon Plus, baby.
Do you still have it?
Like, nah, my mother-in-law gives them to me when my father-in-law's done reading them.
Okay. So, Sean, you also have this, you're a little bit of a superhero. You also have this secret side gig where you write articles for Church Production Magazine.
I do. I love, I wasn't, you know, great in school or language, wasn't a dream of mine. And, but yeah.
Now that ChatGPT exists.
I mean, I just am like, need article on, you know, and boom. for years have, you know, been on their editorial board and done lots of stuff with them and other publications. I can write, I can't talk.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that aspect and getting to help churches. I mean, at the end of the day, that's my goal.
Can Church Production Magazine technically call themselves a magazine anymore? Can you order a physical copy of Church Production Magazine?
You can't, and I didn't know that. Like, literally until just recently, I just had gone digital. I've gone, digital. Thank you. Paperless was where the word there I was going okay. for. And I texted the editor and I was like, hey, one of the ones I had hit the front page. And that was me. You know, I was like,
I want to give it to my mom. She's not online.
I was like, hey, can I get a couple copies? He was like, here's the link. And like, I just missed this whole piece that it was like, you know, it's kind of like you get the full compass, you know, these kids, Sweetwater Canada show up and you're like, okay, pit. Like, I just was like, oh, hey, I haven't gotten a paper copy of Church Production in a while. Where is it? Yeah, it had gone digital. So
do you ever wonder, Sean, like, you keep getting your Sweetwater catalog and you're like, how much longer are they going to keep doing this?
I really do. You know, it's like, is this like profitable? Like, does this help? You know, because also there's this thing called the internet.
Yeah.
And if I need to find something, like, I use that. Like, I don't, you know, it's, you know, sit over here with the phone books. Phone book is a...
You guys are blowing my mind. I didn't even know we still made paper anymore.
I know.
But on the paper and the papyrus that you would have written on, what do you ever have any favorite tips that whenever all your writings for Church Tech or Church Production Magazine?
I mean, for a while there, I was doing, you know, gear reviews and stuff, and that's all great. I'm not as big of a gearhead as some guys. I just, you know, the fact I was able to tell you we use Shure was kind of I don't get into model numbers and this and that. I love the leadership and the tech side of that. And I actually just did an interview with a touring artist and a front of house engineer, and they gave me just like this piece of, you know, I'm gonna mess it up, but it was just this idea of allowing people to ask questions. You know, I don't know if you guys have been on Facebook. It's a community out
Toby
there.
Toby lives on Facebook.
But like, you know, we can get so quick to be like, some person asks a question and you beat up on them for asking a question. And they were just, this person was like kind of referencing that, but they had come up through, you know, not knowing how to run sound. And now they're out on, you know, Winter Jam tour and out, you know, doing this stuff. And they're like, people need to ask, like, if we don't ask questions and don't open up an opportunity for that, this industry will never change or grow or get better. And I was like, That is so cool. You know, I've always had a philosophy, like I'll tell people, like, you know, come into my booth, you know, you're welcome to come in, you know, be in my sandbox. Don't pee in it or throw sand. But, you know, like, you know, I want conversation and I want, you know, to I'm not going to claim to know the best compression, yada, yada. But so it's like allowing people to ask those questions and grow, and you grow in the process.
Yeah.
And so I just, I think the best piece, you know, I was just like, wow, we can, even in the Christian world, be so quick to eat our own and beat up on them over, you know, our philosophy of Digico over Behringer or this or that. And it's like, guys, at the end of the day, is it the right tool for what you need? Then is it doing what you need?
I think our community is chuckling right now because you just said our philosophy of Digico over Behringer. And well, they're like, well, that's because Digico is great and Behringer is garbage.
So one of my lies...
To some people.
One of my lies was actually going to be that Digico is my favorite console, which was a lie because I have a personal vendetta against them. So that's...
And you love the X32.
And I've actually...
Let's just drill in. Let's keep going deeper. What's the personal vendetta?
It burned me on tour once.
Like physically, it was on fire.
No. Right? Which could be a thing, honestly, with them. No, it just was, I forget, D5. You know, it was years ago, and it was... We were actually at Soundcheck here in Nashville, and it just kept crashing. And the artist is getting frustrated, all this stuff, and it was just... I was like, I've mixed on like one since then. That was, you know, almost 20 years ago, probably. Like, been very, but to be fair, I've also really never used an X32 or M32 out of principle. So I am that guy. So because I had ordered some X32s from a previous church and they kept showing up damaged, like literally like the screen would be upside down or they, and these were like new from that. And I was just like, all right, I've just never had the opportunity. So yeah.
Well, Lee Fields is somewhere out there saying, Yamaha brother.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So with his Crocs.
I love how Behringer apparently can't ship gear new in working order, but we ship it used working order all the time.
Yeah. You should order an X32.
There we go.
I also love how Sean said he wasn't a brand guy and he's just been harping on Yamaha ever since. No, but he's not a brand guy.
He's not a model number guy.
I did.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Yamaha, if you're listening. No, I'm kidding. I need my DM7.
Yeah. Ching,
if
you ching. Can. 25 cents here, 25 cents there. Well, poop, Blake. I had a question in my head, and now it's gone. Is this me getting old?
You saying poop makes sense, because I just watched you have a literal brain fart. It was a really wet fart. Okay.
Oh, the humanity.
This guy's good. I like this guy.
I know.
Okay, let's talk about stewarding some resources. So... You're over multiple campuses. You got to make your resources stretch across those campuses. So, I mean, how are you stewarding those resources? How are you making it stretch? I mean, we know that you're doing, we know you have your kind of playbook for I'm going to do these systems and these churches. But, I mean, how are you affording that?
How
are
you making that happen? How do you make your budget stretch to five physical campuses when, you know, you just said we aren't necessarily a mega church?
Right. Well, basically, I take care of myself first, so my can't. No, I'm kidding. My guys are like,
I take my cut.
Toby, if something happens to me, make Sean my replacement. This dude is hilarious.
Done. We've been texting this whole episode.
Yes. Oh crap!
Yeah, you're out.
So we have tiers of what you get when. So you know, we've had campuses start as a mobile church, and so in that scenario, you're going to go out with, you know, a TF version of Yamaha. So if it gets broken, or Alex, if you're listening, you leave the monitor on it and it rips all the faders off. It's not as
big
of a deal.
Get bodied, Alex.
You know, it's not as critical as you just, you know, a CL5 or something going out. So we have these kind of tiers. When you get a building, you move up to, you know, a QL series, things like that. So we kind of tier that stuff out. And my leadership has been awesome in learning over time. You know, I'm not coming in saying we need, you know, the top of the line stuff. I want middle of the road, you know, stuff that will last and do the job. And I'm not going to buy entry level stuff because we'll end up replacing it so fast.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, this isn't a Yamaha plug. I just, like our CL5 at Franklin has been on outside of power outages, has only ever been turned off then, and it's still running for 7 years. Yeah. Now I'm going to go back and it's dead.
I don't think this desk is made out of wood, Sean. I'm sorry.
But I'm going to go back and it's dead. But it's that kind of stuff where I want reliable. I don't need bleeding edge technology. I want to be current. I want, you know, the nice stuff in that sense, but I don't need the...
I mean, Sean, this is the exact same approach I took with hiring Blake. I don't need the top of the line. I just need something that'll work.
This is the fifth time this episode that I had my burn ready, locked and loaded to shoot it, Toby, but I was being respectful and letting you finish.
Eat it, Blake.
But that's, you know, so it's being that, and it's using the opportunity, you know, when we merge, that's when, you know, there's capital dollars, things like that, get the stuff we need. And then I kind of try to work seasons. So, you know, hey, this budget go around, we're going to focus on lighting at around, you know, and I keep a sheet of like, okay, hey, these projectors are getting kind of old. It's, you know, hey, finance team, next year, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to keep that going. And so, you know, we're never, you know, caught off guard outside of a catastrophe.
Sure.
This is actually really fun. So let's drill down to that even more so. It's almost like your process. You're not going for big swings of like, we're going to do this huge overhaul. You're going for like, let me methodically get the next thing I need just at the right time. Like that, is that strategy kind of work for the budget?
As best I can, yes. You know, where it's, hey, here's the big ticket items. You know, I can come in and get batteries and things like that out of our operating budget, things like that. You know, I can get projector lamps. Oh, everything's laser. Mm-hmm. That was a stupid thing. But I can get, you know, expendables and things like that, in-ears, all that. You know, that's just operating budget. But to be, you know, hey, I know that kids ministry goes through headset mics like they were candy.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to buy these really, really expensive ones. I'm going to get these because they seem to break them no matter which brand I buy. So, you know, Galaxy Audio works just fine over here, you know, and I don't have to listen to it. Wow, that was wrong. But that was
Sean unfiltered on the
kids do. I don't care what my kids listen to.
But it is that plan and that. And my leadership knows we've been very methodical. Like, I don't budge from that often, you know, even during COVID or post COVID, where supply lines, where it was like, hey, sure isn't shipping. We at our integrators, like, we have all this Sennheiser. And I was like, I'm not changing one campus out. Mm-hmm. We'll just wait, you know, and we'll figure it out. And so it's those decisions that have actually been the most hard is like, hey, we're not going to change direction over this, because of X, Y, or Z problem.
Yeah. And especially, you know, the Alex moment of putting the monitor on the board and knocking all the faders off. So,
yeah.
Interesting. I'm hearing almost a couple strategies there of like, you're methodical, but your methodicalness sounds like it's built up a great deal of trust with your leadership. They know if you ask for it, it's time.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, I mean, there's been times where it's like, oh, man, we've gone 15 rounds on this thing we need. And there's been other times where it's like, yeah, go spend this six figures and it was off an email. You know, and that's not to their issue, but it's like that one item, you know, my executive pastor just the other day was like, man, this thing works so well. Way to go. You know, and it's like, oh, man, that's awesome. Now, it's also built up time where I've been able to go, I'm sorry, that didn't work, you know, and we've had to, you know, but they know if I'm bringing something to it, I've researched it. I'm behind it.
Yeah.
Man, all right. Well, that's a good approach. I just love hearing how certain people get things approved. I'm with you. The craziest thing I ever got approved was also via email to Toby, even after multiple times crying in person. So you just never know what a good email will get you.
As long as it's not too long, Blake.
I have learned also that I bold the top sentence to Toby.
Because that's all I read.
And then. Okay, which is quite a disaster because then he doesn't know the point of the email. So Sean, tell us a moment where something went wrong for you, how you handled it.
Just like that segue.
You know, the segue.
As big a disaster as that segue.
The segue works when you don't point it out. You always point the segue out.
So about 20 minutes ago, I sat down. Yes. Oh, man. This is the only thing I think you queued me up for, which I did appreciate, was a disaster. Because I was like, man, hold my communion cup. Like, here we go. That's beer. I don't know if we could say beer. So I went
you can say beer.
All right. But it was like, I think actually the thing I love most about production is the war stories that come out of it.
Oh, yes. Like, give it to us.
And so, like, I was texting my guys, like, which one do I go with? Like, where do we go with this? Like, because literally last Sunday I was ready to go work at the Home Depot. Like, I was like, I'm done. I'm out. Like, and then, you know, by the 11 o'clock service, I was fine. And I was back to being a production director.
Yeah, because you had extra communion.
Right, that's exactly it. No, I think...
John's tech takeaway, have a beer for emergency services.
I do. I mean, there's an emotional support flask, but, you know, whatever. One of my volunteers actually got me one of those ones.
That's amazing.
We're a Baptist church. I can't have it. But probably one of the keys was years ago, our MA on PC lighting console, just Windows crapped out. Like, we have auto update turned off. Like, I had gone through all the things, like, to not let this thing update or whatever. And something happened. We got through worship, and it rebooted. And, of course, all the lights go off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just reboot. It's now like, hey, I have to update 10 years of updates.
No.
And to which point I was like, oh, no, I didn't actually go back. And, like, I told it not to update, but I didn't update it offline. You know, I was like, oh, no. So, like, worship was great, and now it's dark, and the pastor's up there. Like, we're running around, like, turn on the work lights. We got a ring light out, you know, put up there. And my poor wife is our LD. And like, she's just panicking, you know. And now it was one of these moments where I don't know what to do. Like, where do you go from here? You know, and now I have
to the Home Depot.
To the Home Depot, job. Exactly. I can help you find lighting fixtures there. but yeah, it was just one of those, like, It's one thing if auto-tune messes up here or there, or even a mic cue, but, like, this was so noticeable, so embarrassing, and it just, it's not even like a missed lyric where, oh, you know, granny so-and-so turns around from the one row. Like, this is like everybody has now turned around looking at you, and there is no solution. And our pastor was great. He just preached on, and it finally finished its updates and came back. You know, so there was that story. There was also one where our entire Dante network went down, and, like, when you suddenly realize how much of, like, your system relies on, like, a single protocol, and you're like, nothing in the building works now.
They call that the Dante's Inferno.
And it was like,
hey, Blake, you just stole one from me. Cause I was about to, you got one in there. I was like, it wasn't an inferno.
And then you're like, maybe we don't need the, like, I was so proud of, like, this giant infrastructure we had built where, like, kids' rooms and the Zoom rooms and all this, like, everything's tied together until it failed, you know? And you're like, maybe this was a terrible.
You turned
idea.
Yourself into the Death Star. Right. Just one. I mean,
like one, one little thing. And it was like, running a wired 58 out to the pastor. One of my interns is like, oh, I got this, you know, runs out there. And I'm like, it still is Dante to the ant. Like, there is nothing that is still plugged into a Rio. Like, we are dead in the water
until
we, like, and it was very Jurassic Park. Like, we had to power the whole thing down and, like, hold on to your butts and, like, you know, turn it all back up in a right sequence to bring it on, you know. And so it's like, what are we going to do to prevent that from happening again, Sean? And I'm like, that was like, there comes to a point where, like, that was such a fluke of.
Yeah. Talk to us about, we've never done this. Like, there's the fun and the crazy stories and the moments, but tell us about the aftermath. Like, how'd you talk it through leadership? How'd that go?
So I am a big believer. Like, I own something. Like, if something goes wrong, I'm the first to own it, you know. Like, I will, and I'm, you know, tell my team all the time, we win as a team, we lose as a team. And, you know, I won't throw anybody under the bus unless,
except Alex,
but he deserved that one. That was that
every
was
company bad. Needs one person to throw under the bus. Yep. I don't know anything about that, but
but my thing is just, I get to it quick in the sense, like, I'm sending an email, you know, in the next service or when I can, explaining it to them. That's why I'm there. They've hired me for my expertise, executive team, lead team, you know, whatever your church calls, you know, the people above you, they're not, they don't know what Dante is. They don't care what Dante is. The pastor wants to articulately project his message, you know, and he needs to know that I'm either investigating it I know what happened and what we're doing to prevent it. And there are times and I've had to, you know, tell our teams this, especially in the streaming world now, where it's like there's 50 points of failure in our building. And then I'm making that number up, but you know, but once it leaves our building, it's literally in God's hands. I mean, mm-hmm. you're talking it's to Comcast and the CD. And, you know, so I do everything I can to, you know, right size what is going on. And we've checked it, we've tested it. And, you know, but technology is technology. I was like, when was the last time you got mad at your phone for dropping a call? You know,
yeah.
like
every time I was on T-Maybe that Toby recommended.
T-Mobile works great for me.
I'm still like, call drops me. I'm like, we can put a man on the moon, but I can't, yeah. you know, I'm like, I don't know if that reference still works, but it's like, you know, but it is, I just have to keep, you know, reminding and helping our leadership know, like you also love this technology when it works.
Yeah.
And we're here. And I was also like, hey, if we had more staff, but well, that's different. but you know, and it's not a common occurrence, like, and they're really good. Like if something happens, you know, 2-3 times, now we're going to start having more conversations. One big thing here and there we're pretty good at, but I catch it quick and, you know, admit to, hey, here's what went wrong. We had one where Dante again went down investigating, turned out to be a network router, was set to auto update. It thought it was 3 a.m. Mm. The best part was it was patched 6.6.61.
Whoa.
You got a lot of auto updates killing you, man.
I know. Yeah. I did. Well, that was like, oh, but again, I thought, I was like, oh, we turned that off. But you also have a lot of switches to go through. So, as you know, but it's just owning it and addressing like, hey, and what are we going to do to prevent this? And having that plan and walking it through with the team. It's kind of like a fire drill. Mm. Like if you don't, you're going to do what you practice and rehearse. Now, I don't, you know, break the Dante network and our team figure, but we do have, hey, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to go. And we have backups and redundancies to things.
Yeah.
But you can only have so much backup and redundancy outside of, hey, everybody move to our second auditorium that is set here for backup. You know,
Blake, I just got a new idea. Church tech fire drills.
Yes. There's a paintball gun in your bag. Just fire and yell as loud as you can. Create enough time and distraction to run to Home Depot.
That's not bad.
All right. So what I'm hearing in that, Sean, is like, yeah, own it and own it quickly and communicate it.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not always saying, hey, it was my fault, but it's like this happened under my watch and my team, and we're going to figure out what it is. Just instilling confidence is, I think, key.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, if only Toby had some confidence in me. All right, Toby, how about you do the tech takeaway? Tee Sean up.
Is it because you have no confidence in yourself to handle the tech takeaway this episode?
You know, I just, I don't want to get thrown under the bus any more time. So I'm on auto update over here.
Let me channel my inner Blake. So for every episode, okay. We like to wrap with... So Sean, we like to wrap every episode with a tech takeaway. And this is your personal bit of advice for all of our listeners out there. Are millions of viewers that tune in every week for wisdom on how to make their Sunday better.
Literally, Toby, that was like a literally great job. Literally,
thank you.
Literally good one.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Shut up, Blake.
I would literally say, turn off auto update and check it for, no.
Yeah. Dude, that sounds like one for real, though.
I just think, you know, understanding why we do what we do, you know, it's there's a lot of fun in production, and you know, it is a support ministry of the church. You know, we support what's going on, but really taking that ownership and the you are making a difference and understanding, like, it's, I never let people say like, oh, I just run a camera, oh, I just push a fade, like, you, without you there, things aren't happening. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I remind our video team this, there are more eyes watching what you're doing than people, like, than there are people in this room. Like, it has such an impact. And so I just think, you know, it's not a tech takeaway, I guess, but it is that,
no,
that idea of just really owning, you know, understanding the why of what you're doing, and that it has such a bigger impact. And so that's what I go into Sunday. Like, I hate getting, when that alarm goes off at 4:30 a.m, I don't want to get up. Like, yeah. and it's every week, and every Sunday's coming, you know, and it's like, but by the time I realize, oh, it's Sunday, I have to wake up. You know, I have to remind myself, like, we're going in to do ministry. This is people's salvations. And, you know, people are coming in with real problems, not, hey, I'd have to get up at 4:30 in the morning. You know, they're coming in with their marriages on the line and their kid is on drug. What, you know, I don't even have real life stories, but it's like, I didn't mean to make that a funny thing, but they're like, there's real things happening. So I need to do my job so that these things happen. And I tell my team all the time, a win for us is, did we remove distraction? Did we prevent something? Like, you know, we're not there for accolades or, you know, to be seen, which is why we're in black, you know, but it's like, did we prevent distraction? Unlike this past Sunday when somebody knocked over pipe and Drake pole during the message. But, you know, that's the goal.
No, I really love that. Always connecting the why to the work that brings the motivation, keeps it in perspective. Sean, you got anything you want to plug? Anything you want to point people to?
Jesus.
There it is.
Well done.
I think that's the first person to say that, yes. Though. So every guest has been on.
Yeah.
We all need to get baptized again. Mm-hmm. Rolling Hills.
I do, you know, there's Rolling Hills, but I mean, I love to help people any way I can. So, you know, shameless plug for
your articles.
Well, SeanRMiller.com with a U. That's okay. In the Sean part, SHAUN. Or, you know, Church Production Magazine. I'm up there. And I'm on all the cool Instagrams and Twitters or X's, whatever they are now.
Yeah, you know, I'm hip. He's on Be Real and Dispatch
and MySpace and
yes.
You know, I got my site built on GeoCities and it's great. You don't know what that is, don't worry about it.
Man, that must be what our site's built on. Okay, well, Sean, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh man, thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We hope to see you back next week for more absurd stories, tech takeaways, and overall buffoonery here at the Church Gear Studios.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Blake, this is the moment that everybody's been tuning in this whole episode. I mean, Sean was amazing, but they're suffering through our dribble just to hear your story.
All right, welcome to your first Church Gear After Dark segment, officially launching TBD. But I get baptized when I'm second grade, first grade.
So 3 years ago?
Yep. And I'd heard about 2012's coming, and this is, you know, so much before.
The end of the Mayan calendar.
Right. What motivates me, Toby? What feeling, what emotion do I always have?
Just straight up fear of everything?
Fear. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got X amount of time to get my life right. I'm like, first grade, second grade. So
I love how the Mayan calendar is ending, and so logic tells you, I gotta, like, accept Jesus.
Oh, I'd pulled red card every single day in kindergarten. That's not a lie. And so they take me to the kids' ministry, whatever. I talk to them. I go to get on to get baptized, to go to the changing room, and they're looking at their sheet, and they're like, yeah, dude, you're not on the sheet. And I'm like, oh no, I've already died. I'm at the gates, the pearly gates. Like, they're not letting me into heaven. They're like, nah, man, your parents just didn't sign you up. My parents and family and neighbors are all sitting out there. Parents didn't sign me up. And so, Dad, if you're listening to this, because you do it on occasion, I still, you know, resent you for that. And so I showed that anger. Imagine first grade Blake, pissed off and embarrassed after the baptism. I'm going out of the church with all their friends.
I just imagine, Blake, have you seen those little bumper stickers where there's a cartoon, it's Calvin and Hobbes, where he is peeing on something out of disrespect. So I'm just imagining you peeing into the baptismal out of...
Well, if my parents were in there, I would have. And so I start, you know, giving them the 1-2 for this. And my parents were like, they did not care that they'd forgotten to sign me up. I'd been disrespectful. So we got home and they beat the shit out of me with a switch. I'll have Ross bleep that. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, my leg's bleeding. And had to get baptized another time. We'll save that story for later on. But that story was, I tried to get my life right, and in exchange, I got a whooping.
So I've been on field trips with my kids to, I think it was a plantation, like a, you know, 1800s, whatever. And they said,
I don't like where this is going.
There was like a schoolhouse, and they talked about the reality that when kids misbehave, they would have to go outside, pick a switch that the teacher would whip them with. You don't want to pick it too big, but you also don't want to pick it too small, because then the teacher is going to pick it. Blake, you are straight up Tennessee, my friend.
I was going to say, I'm literally that character in that story. Yeah. Multiple times had to go out and pick a switch.
So you eventually did get baptized a second time. Do you feel like it took?
You know, I did until I joined your small group. Then I think we might have regressed a little bit. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's my story. We'll tell the next one later.
And maybe if you have your own baptism story and want to reference this Church Gear episode, it'd be a great opportunity to share that on the cool socials, MySpace, and BeReal.
Definitely MySpace, definitely BeReal, and Instagram if you feel like it. And tag us. Maybe we'll reshare it.
All right, Blake, I think we're done. Go pick out your Switch.
I'm going to drop the mics in the baptismal.
Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.